the Rebbe wrote in a note, one of his notes on Tanya, that in Tosfos and Shabbos, Daf Mem Tesa Med Aleph, Tosfos quotes a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Lech Lecha, Parsha Lamed Tes, that when a dove, when a yoina is tired, it flies with one wing. Peirachas ba'as, Tosfos says, Peirachas ba'achas v'ninoichas ba'achas. It flies with one wing, and it relaxes with the other wing, because it's tired. But he says there's no contradiction. Over there, the dove has a second wing. The dove has a second wing. She might not be using the second wing, but the very fact that she rests with one wing, v'ninoiches v'achas, means the bird possesses both wings. Here, the Alter Rebbe is discussing a situation where the individual possesses only love and doesn't have the experience of fear, the experience of awe. And furthermore, in the Medrash, where Tosfos quotes it, as mentioned by Medrash Rabbah Parshas Lech Lecha, the Matnos Kohuna, which is one of the commentaries on Medrash, he adds, his version in the Medrash is that even the dove, when it attempts to relax, has to fly a little bit with the second wing. The second wing cannot be totally relaxed. Even a dove cannot fly totally with one of the two wings. But essentially, the Alter Rebbe is saying here that love without awe will not fulfill what it ought to fulfill in the life of the Jew. Zog the Alter Rebbe, on the other hand, V'chein hayir levadehi kanaf echad, v'lei parcha bala eila afshe nekras avay desevet. Conversely, all alone is also but one wing, and one service cannot ascend with it on high, even though it's termed Avodas Eved. Even though when I have Yira, my service of Torah and Mitzvahs is called Avodas Eved, the service of a servant, as explained in the beginning of the chapter discussed last week, but nevertheless, it's still one wing. V'tzarech liyas gamken p'chinas ben, there must also be the element of a child. There must also be the service characteristic of a child, a service motivated by love. So despite the awesome advantage and power of Yira, of awe, discussed at length in the beginning of the chapter, the Alter Rebbe says it's not enough. It can by no means constitute the entire spiritual life of the Jew. Yira is powerful, it's important, it's significant, it's the foundation. But now he says after this, after everything said, you should know that it's still one wing. The Jew must cultivate the feeling of that he's a child towards Hashem. A servant, as Taka, has very powerful elements that a child doesn't have. We discussed the element of self-surrender, self-nullification, and so forth that a child doesn't experience. But nevertheless, the Jew must also cultivate the feeling that I am a child. You have to be an Eved, and you have to be a Ben. That's what he's saying. You have to have Yira, and you have to have Av. One should not exclude the other. You can't fly only with Yira. Yira is also not enough to fly. You also have to have Av, a sense of love.
It's correlated to Ben.
To Ben. Yira is the characteristic, is the property of an Eved. We spoke last week at length. A master doesn't have to be appealing to a servant. It's not part of the constitution of master-servant relationship. Whether you love him, you might love your master, it's fine, but that makes you an admirer. That doesn't make you a servant. A child in a healthy father-child relationship, parent-child relationship, love is the predominant feature. I saw a story that in the olden days in Eastern Europe, there were a lot of Jews who lived in small townlets or towns. They didn't even have a minyan. And Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, at holidays, they would travel to the nearby city where there was a larger Jewish community to attend the minyan, to be able to daven those awesome days, special days with a minyan. So it was once the day before Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, and there was a villager who owned a tavern together with his entire family. He raised children there. He had a family. And Yom Kippur morning, they started to get ready to pack up to go for Yom Kippur to the nearby to the nearby city, which was a long distance, he couldn't walk and so forth. The Jew who owned it was already an elderly man, he was a pious Jew, and he was really eager to get to the city. He used to like to come to Shul a lot before Yom Kippur to be able to sit and say Tillim. So they were all busy packing and so forth. He told them, you know, I'm going to start walking. I want to really get on my way. I can't procrastinate here. I don't like it. I'm going to start walking. Do me a favor. I'll walk and walk. And then, on your way, if I still didn't make it, this was early in the morning, if I still didn't make it to the city, or I didn't get a ride with somebody else, so you'll see me walking on the side of the road, you'll pick me up, you'll take me to the city. The Jew left. This was the early Erev Yom Kippur at dawn, and he walked and walked and walked. He walked three quarters of the day. And he was an older man, so he sat down to rest under a tree, and he fell asleep. He fell asleep under the tree, and he was enjoying his sleep. His family, a little while before Yom Kippur, passed by the road to go to the city. They forgot all about it, and there was nothing noticeable. He was sleeping under a tree. They didn't think of looking for him, so they forgot about him, and they went to the city. The Yid wakes up. It's already Lichtsenden time. He looks around, he sees where he is, and he realizes that they forgot him. So naturally, instinctively, he turns to Hashem and he says, you know, my children forgot me. They forgot all about me. But nevertheless, I don't hold it against them. Why don't I hold it against them? They have a lot of burdens, a lot of stress, 1.1 million things they had to do, plus they were in a big rush. So they forgot about me, and I'm their father, so I forgive them. So he turns to Hashem and he says, your Jews also might have forgotten you. But nevertheless, he says, they're your children, you ought to forgive them. So the Alter Rebbe is saying that the Jew can't only or shouldn't only develop the sense of a subject, king relationship, but also the sense of a child-parent relationship. And that's the second wing that allows the Torah mitzvahs to soar. But now he adds, in discussing...
There are certain teachings in the Torah that awaken the relationship of Ben Ava more.
Yes. What type of teachings can awaken this relationship of a child? The relationship of a servant, the teachings he discussed in the beginning of the chapter, and he will continue in chapter 42. What would evoke the element of love that Alter Rebbe will develop in detail in the forthcoming chapters. But now he adds, Tzadichli is gamkin pchinis ben. Just read again those few words. Tzadichli is gamkin pchinis ben. There must also be the service characteristic of a child, service motivated by love. How does one do this? And now he responds to your question, David. In addition to the various teachings which he will discuss in forthcoming chapters, at least la'oyer ha'ava ha'tivis al kol panim ha'masoteres b'libay. To awaken at least the natural love for Hashem that is hidden in one's heart, so that he should at least become conscious of it in his mind. And this means to recall his love of the one God in his thought and in his desire, to cleave to Hashem. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, the love is already existing in you. The love is an essential property of the Jewish structure. However, the Jew has to be zeicher. The Jew has to remember this love, has to tune into it, has to recall it. And if he can't recall it in his heart, again, to make it a palpable truth, felt in the heart, at least in his mind, in his thought, and in his will, that the presence, the reality of this love should at least saturate his mind, saturate his desire, and therefore he should want to connect with Hashem, even though there's no feeling of it, but he at least tunes into this love on an intellectual level in his thought and in his will. And this should be his intent when occupying himself with the Torah or with the particular mitzvah he's about to perform. In addition to what the Alter Rebbe said, the kavanah, the intent, the meditation that ought to accompany each mitzvah or study of Torah, which is the sense of yira of awe discussed in the beginning of the chapter. Now he adds, this should also be his kavanah, that what? L'davka by nafshi halakis v'achiyunis olavushayin k'niskelel, that his divine soul as well as his biological soul, together with their garments, shall unite with Hashem, as has been explained above, which is a product of, which is a consequence of Ahava, of love. When I love somebody, I want to connect to them. So when the Jew tunes into the love existing in him, before he does a mitzvah, before he learns Torah, he meditates for a moment, at least, about the fact that there is a love existing within me. Bring it out into your mind. Bring it out into your desire, and now go ahead and do the mitzvah with this intent, with this meditation that I want to connect to Hashem. I want my divine soul to connect to Hashem, my biological soul to connect to Hashem, and all of their garments to connect to Hashem. So here, of course, so. Has Zion. You're asking that if he's talking about the Beinoni is always on this level? Not necessarily. In his behavior, the behavior of the Beinoni is consistent with this truth, but the fact that he experiences an Ahava constantly? Not necessarily. Not at all. Sometimes the Beinoni experiences intense, animalistic, beastly, vulgar, self-centered, ungodly impulses. The Beinoni is the ordinary Jew. He doesn't succumb to them in his behavior. But as far as developing a spirituality in his character, he does that at times. He attempts to do it during davening each day, and so forth, but it's not an inherent condition. There are certain Beinonim who have it all day. That's why Rabba, he said in chapter 13, that's why Rabba can err and define himself as a Beinoni. But those are unique Beinonim. That's a higher level of Beinonim who experience, who are like davening all, who are like in the midst of davening during the entire day. But sometimes the Beinoni has very powerful struggles where there's no feeling whatsoever. We'll learn another piece here. Ach amnam amru razal. However, our sages have added something. Our sages have said, La oilam al yotzia d'matzmei min haklal. A man should never separate himself from the community. Which is basically a quote in the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Mem Tesamet Beis, where the Gemara discusses Birchas Hazimun, what you say when there's a mezumin, the grace after meals. And the Gemara discusses the fact that if there are three people, so you have a mezumin. So if there are three people with you, you're the third, so you say, Nevarich Shachalnu Mishalai. Let's bless Hashem from whom we have eaten. But if the shloish of a who, there are three people besides you, so the Gemara says, then you don't have to say, Nevarich Shachalnu Mishalai. You could say, Baruch Hu Shachalnu Mishalai. Baruch Shalchan Mishalai is you bless the one we have eaten from. You don't have to include yourself. Nevarech, we should bless, because there are three. There's enough people without you to have a mezumen to join in the benching. So that's why you could say, you don't have to say Nevarech, you could say Baruch Shalchan Mishalai. That's what the Mishnah says in Brachas. So the Gemara right away says, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said that La'oila mal yaitziyah de matzmeh min haklal. Despite the fact that you could say Baruch Hu, but you shouldn't say Baruch Hu, because a person should never take himself out from the community, and therefore you should always incorporate yourself within the community and say Nevarech, you shouldn't say Baruch Hu. So now the Alter Rebbe employs this statement as far as the spiritual life of the Jew and explains it according to Chassidus. What does this mean? Lachain, therefore, because of this, Yiskav in liyached uladavka b'yizbarach. The Jew should meditate, should intend to unite and attach to Hashem, mekoy nafshei helikis, the source of his godly soul, or mekoy nefash is kol Yisrael, and the source of all the souls of the Jewish people. He should intend and meditate that through the mitzvah, through the Torah that he's about to do, he wants to connect all of them, the source of his soul and the source of the souls of all the Jewish people, to Hashem. Shahu. Now this source of his soul and of all the Jewish souls is Ruach Piv Yisbarach, is the spirit of Hashem's mouth, Hanikre b'shem Shechina, which is defined as the Shechina. It's determined by the name Shechina. Why Shechina? Al shem sheshechen esu mislabeshes teich kalalmin lachayoyisan olakayma. Because it dwells. Shechina comes from the word sheichen, which means it dwells, it pervades. Because it dwells and clothes itself in all the worlds, animating them and giving them life. So this source of the soul, of his soul and of all the souls, is called Hashem's, the spirit of Hashem's mouth, which is called the Shechina, because it dwells and it clothes itself in all the worlds to animate them and to vivify them and to give them life. And it is the Shechina which imbues him with the power of speech to utter his current words of Torah, or imbues him with the power of action to perform this particular mitzvah at hand. It's the Shechina that gives him the power to speak these words or to do these deeds. Now this unity of the source of all of the Jewish souls, the Shechina, with Hashem, who aydei hamshachas eidin seif baruch olamat, is attained through drawing for the light of the blessed Ein Sof here below, al yidei eisa katera v'hamitzvus, by being occupied in the Torah and the mitzvahs, shahu melubish ben, wherein it, the energy of the Ein Sof, is closed in the Torah and mitzvahs. So the yiskaven, so the Jew should meditate and should intend, laham shich oira yizbarach, to draw forth his blessed energy, almakir nafshayu nefashis kol Yisrael yachadon, over the source of his soul, and over the souls of all of the Jewish people, as to unite them with Hashem. And the meaning of this union will be discussed at length later. Look there. And this is the meaning of the words we recite before the performing of various mitzvahs for the sake of the union of Kodesh Baruch Hu with his Shechina, with his indwelling, with his presence, in the name of all of the Jewish people.
How does this piece come and follow from what
Good question. Let me just briefly explain what Alter Rebbe said here, and with this we'll conclude and then continue on this theme, God willing, next class. It's explained in Kabbalah, particularly in the writings of the Arizal, that before each mitzvah, the Jew ought to say, L'shem Yichud Kuchabrichu Shchinte B'shem Kol Yisrael. This is for the sake of the unity of Kuchabrichu, of the Holy One, blessed be He, and His Shechina, and His presence, in the name of all of the Jewish people. In fact, many Jews have the custom to say L'shem Yichud before many mitzvahs. There are many sidurim in which the statement of L'shem Yichud is published before various mitzvahs, before you put on tzitzis, before you put on tefillin, before you count the Omer, and so on and so forth. It happens to be that the Alter Rebbe, in his own siddur, in his own prayer book, he deleted L'shem Yichud from everywhere besides one place. And that is in the beginning of davening before Baruch Sha'amar. That's the only time, according to the Alter Rebbe, the Chabad custom, L'Shem Yichud is said, is once right before Baruch Sha'amar. You say, L'Shem Yichud, Kutshabrichu, Shchinte, Le'achda, Shem Yutke, Bevavke, Be'ichud, Shlim, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, in the name of all the Jewish people. And in discourses of Chabad, it's explained that the L'Shem Yichud that the Alter Rebbe institutionalized in the beginning of davening is meant to include all of the mitzvahs that the Jew is going to perform during the day. Now, what is the meaning in this commonly said statement? Is there some type of friction between Kutshabrichu and Shchinte? They don't get along. Are they not on speaking terms? Kutshabrichu doesn't communicate with the Shechina. Are they in battle? What are we uniting? Kutshabrichu or Shchinte? What is Kutshabrichu and Shchinte? Aren't the Shechina and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, it's both God. And suddenly, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, in the name of all of the Jewish people. Why here suddenly are you representing the entire nation? First of all, who made you the representative of all of the Jewish people? And why suddenly here? I mean, everything you can represent all the Jewish people. So this is what Alter Rebbe explained here. And Alter Rebbe wants that before you do a mitzvah, in addition to the above meditations, the Jew should also meditate on this. And that's how it comes in here. That's how he started. V'gam Yiskavan. And very briefly, what Alter Rebbe explains in other discourses, which allows us to understand what he says here, very briefly explains this in the Likutei Torah of Eschana and other places. In the divine energy, so to speak, there are two elements. There is Hashem's inner and intimate energy, which is known as Kutshabrichu, because Kadosh in Hebrew means Kedusha, connotes separation, aloofness. Kedoshim ti, you should be holy. Rashi says, Kedoshim ti, it means have a prushim in our eyes. You should be separated. Kedusha denotes aloofness, distinction, separation. That's why Hashem is indeed called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Kutshabrichu in Aramaic, the Holy One, blessed be He, because this denotes the fact that Hashem is totally undefined. He is abstract. You cannot define Him by any quality, by any level, by any form, by any feature, by any characteristic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically represents Hashem's essential presence, His intimate presence that is aloof, that is totally beyond any characteristic, any definition, any shape, color, or form, physical or even metaphysical.
Even beyond?
Yes. Then there is Shechina. There is the divine energy as it compresses itself, as it limits itself, and compresses itself within individualistic characteristics, and that is the energy which directly creates, sustains, animates the universe and everything contained in the universe with all of its definitions and characteristics and qualities. And this is called Shechina, as the Alter Rebbe says. Why Shechina? Because it's Shechenes Umislabeshes. This is an energy that's custom made. It's tailored to the individual capacity. and characteristic of every creature, of every phenomenon, of every existence, of every being existing in this universe or in all of the universes. That's what it means. It's Sheikhenes and Mislabeshes. It dwells, it pervades, it tailors itself to the individuality of every creature in the world. Toich Kalam, and inside the worlds. That's why it's also called Ruach Piv, the spirit of his mouth. Because the difference, basic difference between thought and speech is, thought is intimate and speech is projective. Nobody knows what I'm thinking about now. I don't know what you're thinking about, right? That's basically what allows us to survive in this world. Wouldn't be comfortable if everybody would know what everybody else is thinking about. Speaking, on the other hand, is filtered. You know exactly what you're going to say. It's not an expression of your intimate presence. What happens in our thought and what comes out in our mouth are two worlds, it's two people. If you would think out loud, if our thoughts would be totally exposed, a new self will emerge. You know, that self that only you know about. And nobody knows about that self unless you share to bring somebody into the world of thought. So Ruach Piv is, so to speak, the projective element of Hashem that is filtered through, custom made to the features of the universe. In Kabbalah, this is also called Seiviv Kalamin and Mamala Kalamin. He'll say that soon in the Perek. Seiviv Kalamin means he encompasses the worlds. Mamala Kalamin means he fills the worlds. Seiviv Kalamin is the transcendental energy of Hashem, his intimate presence, as he is in his own intimacy. Mamala Kalamin is the Shechina that defines itself in terms of individualistic characteristics. Now, there's one God. There's no polarity, God forbid. But nevertheless, as far as the recipient, there's the recipient as he experiences Shechina, and there's the recipient as he experiences HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he could never experience within his vessels. Now, according to Kabbalah and Chassidus, all the problems begin from the fact that there has been a separation between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinteh. It says in Zohar, he's going to bring later the Zohar in Parashas Ki Seitzeh, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the groom and Shechinteh is the bride. And there was a tension created between the groom and the bride. And all of the problems, from a Kabbalistic point of view, exist because Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinteh are not one. This tension, this separation, this disparity between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinteh essentially denotes the disparity, the disconnection between the Creator and the creation. And the tension created by this separation is the root of all tension and all of existence. Every tension that you experience in your life, if you dissect it well and you scrutinize it, can be traced back to the tension between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinteh. Beginning with the tension in our own personal existence. The tension in our own life between our laziness and our idealism, between our selfishness and selflessness, between our yearning for spirituality and our self-indulgent cravings. It can be traced back to the tension between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinteh. The tension, according to Kabbalah, between every husband and wife. The tension between parents and children. The tension between partners in a business, between an employer and employee, as well as international tensions, the horrific tensions in the Holy Land right now. Every single type of tension in the world, on some level, is a byproduct, is an evolution of the tension existing between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinteh. There is a schism between Hashem's transcendental intimate energy and the Shechina, the energy that sustains and creates the universe. In one way or another, it all stems from that fragmentation, from that disparity, from that disunity. Because the Shechina tailors itself to the individual characteristics of the universe. And in that process, when Kodesh Baruch Hu is not felt there, realities begin to emerge as a result of Shechina that experience themselves as detached from spirituality, as detached from godliness. My animalistic cravings, and the reason it can create such a tension between that and my spirituality, is because in the Shechina is not one with Kodesh Baruch Hu. If Shechina would be one with Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then the individual qualities and characteristics and realities that Shechina is creating would never experience themselves as divorced, as detached, as distinct from Kodesh Baruch Hu. But over there is the Shechina. That's because of the Shechina. Of course, Shechina pervades everything. There's nothing that Shechina does not pervade. What is Shechina? Shechina tailors itself to the quality of each creature. Shechina sustains nature. Shechina sustains governments, political systems, nations, languages, cultures. Shechina sustains and creates minds, creativity, imagination, dreams, fantasy, ambitions, cravings. So when Shechina is separated from Kodesh Baruch Hu, when Hashem's energy that sustains and animates every detail of my life is detached from Kodesh Baruch Hu, from His intimate energy, suddenly all of these things, whether it's my own imagination or cravings, or big political systems define themselves as something separated, independent, detached from their true reality, which is godliness. The purpose of Yiddishkeit is to create harmony between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinte. L'yachado Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechinte. When the undefined essential reality of Hashem is revealed in the Shechinte, that's called a matching moment. And that's a moment of healing into the entire existence, from the highest levels to the lowest levels. That unity creates a light, and the paradox, the disparity between creator and creation is removed, or at least blurred. And ultimately, this unity is the objective of existence. What Zechariah says about Mashiach, "Bayoyimahu yi Hashem echad u'shmoy echad," that day Hashem will be one, His name will be one, Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinta will be one. So Zogda Alter Rebbe, and this I want to conclude with. One second, let me just finish. Now the source of all souls is called Shechina. The source of everything existing in this world is called Shechina. But particularly, each soul individually is a ray of the Shechina. The Shechina itself, that's the fountainhead where all the souls are one. All the souls are one in this place called Shechina. Shechina is also that element that allows me and gives me the power to say the words of Torah, to do the deeds I'm doing through the mitzvah and so forth. Everything in our world, even our soul, is all a product of Shechina. There's only one thing in the world and in our life that comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. What is that? Torah and mitzvahs. Torah and mitzvahs, that comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. Torah and mitzvahs, the Alter Rebbe explained in chapter 23 and chapter 35, is the intimate expression of Hashem's internal self before He compressed or limited Himself. Torah and mitzvahs is His essential will and His essential wisdom. So there's one element in our life that's a product, that's an expression of Kodesh Baruch Hu that transcends the worlds. The pre-Tzimtzum God, so to speak, is expressed in Torah and in mitzvahs. So this is what Alter Rebbe is saying. When I do a mitzvah, my soul, which is Shechina, which is a product of Shechina, encounters a mitzvah, which is Kodesh Baruch Hu. So at that moment, Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinta become one. Or my power of deed is now invested in doing a mitzvah. My power of words is now invested in learning Torah or studying Torah or davening. So again, the Shechina, which is invigorating my thought, is now encountering Kodesh Baruch Hu through Torah and mitzvahs. And conversely, obviously.
Brings down the hashpah. Yeah.
So before a mitzvah, you say L'shem Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechinta. This mitzvah creates a matching moment in reality. Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinta now become one. And thus, it's B'shem Kol Yisrael in the name of all the Jewish people. Why? Because when Shechina and Kodesh Baruch Hu get united in the level of Shechina, all souls are one. Shechina is the source of the souls where all souls melt away in one reality. So when I talk about Shechina, I identify the source of my soul where it is one with the source of all the Jewish souls, because that's like the fountainhead, the wellspring from which all the souls come out. So automatically it's B'Shem Kol Yisrael in the name of the Jewish people. If I talk about my own soul and my own experience in the mitzvah, it's only me. But if my meditation accompanying the mitzvah, preceding the mitzvah, is L'Shem Yichud Kutcha B'richu Shchinte, to unite HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shekhinah, so I'm identifying the source of my soul, which is one with all the Jewish people. So this is what the Alter Rebbe says: Al Yitzi Yadam Atzmim Min HaKlal. Don't take yourself out of the community. Before you do a mitzvah, before you daven, before you learn, don't only think about your own soul. I want my soul should connect to Hashem, evoke the inner love that you have towards Hashem. I say, I want my soul to connect to Hashem. The Alter Rebbe says you need much more than that. What we want is you should include yourself with the entire Jewish people. Your craving, your desire should be that all of the souls of the Jewish people should connect with Hashem. How is that? Because think about the fact that when you do the mitzvah, Kutsha Brichu and Shchinte are connecting. And when Kutsha Brichu and Shchinte are connecting, it's a connection of all of the souls, the source of all of the souls, with Hashem. And which the Alter Rebbe will continue to develop, elaborate at length in the continuation of the chapter. Yeah, have a good night and a wonderful week. Yeah, what do you want to ask? Yeah, well, Davin, yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course, Shechina is the Tzad of Kedusha. But ultimately, of course, Shechina is a tzad of Kedusha. But the disparity in Kedusha itself between Kutsha Brichu and Shchinte allows for all the other distortions ultimately. Perversion. Of course. Of course.
That's already the secret of
Kedusha. Is a new perversion, you're right. That's not what Shekhinah essentially is, of course. Yeah, of course. But we talk, for example, about Galus HaShekhinah, the exile of the Shekhinah. Why? Because it's Shekhinah that goes into exile. Perverse. Right, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Shekhinah itself is hidden. Shekhinah is holy. Yeah, of course. No. B'Shem Yichud Kutsha Brichu Shchinte, even before Satra Achara, there's already some type of tension. It's a self-imposed tension. Shekhinah. The Tzimtzum is what produces the Shekhinah, yeah. His own Tzimtzum produces the concept of Shekhinah, yeah. The Tzimtzum. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.